It's time now for Optimal Health with Dr. Christopher Calipe. Dr. Calipe is an osteopathic physician, board certified in family practice and chelation therapy, anti-aging medicine. Dr. Calipe specializes in reconstructive and neurotherapy for chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders. And he's achieved fellowship certification for stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipe's office number in Long Island is 516-794-0404. We will repeat that number throughout the show. Now, here's Dr. Christopher Calipe.
Welcome, friends, and thank you for tuning into the Optimal Health Program today. Hope you're all doing well. As you know, we're going to take your calls here in a moment at 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And we'll get your questions right up on the air. Remember, the things that you're thinking about, other people are also thinking about. As I say, when we talk to patients during the week and certainly on Saturdays as I work, we try to get people to understand how to document what's going on in their lives, to write down what they're eating for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. Even doing that, people realize, wow, I'm having the same foods over and over again. There's no variety in my diet. Or I'm having way too much of one food or too much carbohydrate. And as well, if you look at when they write down and document when they're taking their vitamins, some people forget. Well, they'll put them together the night before and forget to take them. They run out to work and they don't take their lunch time dose, or they're skipping their afternoon dose. Similar to thyroid, people are taking the thyroid in the morning, but if they need it in the afternoon as well, they forget. So we constantly try to get people to remember things. Now, in the day of the smartphone, you could actually give yourself a reminder, you know, to wake up in the morning, first of all, and then a second reminder to take your thyroid, and then another reminder that's, you know, 45 minutes afterwards so that you can eat. So we have a lot of people doing this all through their phone. It makes a lot of sense. It's easier to do. And the same holds true with afternoon doses of thyroid or vitamins. So we want people to keep on track, document what they're doing, write it down, because then you can really see your body's improvement as well. So it's all about understanding, learning, documentation, proving that the initial recommendations are working. So I have patients fill out a symptom checklist where they list all their symptoms in the left column of the paper, and then they write down week to week how their body's changing. And invariably, after 3 or 4 weeks, when we sit down and go over that, we'll recheck the abnormals on the blood to prove that your body's doing better, but also have some nice written documentation from the patient as to how well they're doing. So important to keep on top of all the little changes that are occurring, because even little changes can be significant when you look at the entire picture. Some great research, and every day I get on the computer and look for great stuff to talk about. This is an article about vitamin B12 and folic acid supplementation are very important to people in the elderly population. So it's important for lowering homocysteine, your cardiovascular risk. It's important for brain function, energy. The list goes on and on and on. But typically, the latest research on B12 and folate talk about homocysteine. There's hundreds of thousands of comments about the benefits of the B vitamins and actual studies and research. And here is yet another one that talks about lowering homocysteine and having better cognitive function when homocysteine was low, but that's because of correcting those vitamins. So very important to do that blood test for your vitamins. Otherwise, you don't know if what you're taking is either working or getting absorbed. In the same vein, no pun intended, research talks about vitamin B12 deficiency and Alzheimer's disease. The people who had the lowest B12 had the highest correlation with Alzheimer's. So, again, your body requires vitamins and minerals for all of your cells. You need to have these things there. You need to have good foods there that are organic, not foods filled with chemicals that, you know, certainly can bring you problems and side effects, especially if it's heavy metal associated. So important to understand what your body's doing, and that's why the blood test is so, you know, critically important. Vitamin D deficiency is correlated with cardiometabolic disorders. And this is another great of many studies, a meta-analysis looking at a variety of studies, looking at vitamin D and cardiac disorders, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, metabolic syndrome. High levels of vitamin D substantially decrease the risk of cardiovascular disease, type 2, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. Add that to correcting the other vitamins, low-carb diet, exercise, correcting your hormones, and then you have a gigantic improvement in your picture. Once again, The phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-922. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. Let's go to our first caller. It's Ron in Waynesville, North Carolina. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Dr. Cal.
You're a couple hours away.
Yeah, a little.
Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, I'm on iHeartRadio.
Oh, great.
I heard a couple of weeks ago about the lady that had macular degeneration. And
yes.
Through the IV stem cell therapy, she regained her ability to see colors.
Yes.
And her ability to see the line on the checkbook. I'm
correct.
Very excited about this.
Yeah, it's amazing because when you see such a quick response, and her video should be on the website this week. I was promised by the web developers that the two or three other videos are coming up this week. You'll be able to hear her talk about how poor her vision was and how much better it was over a relatively short period of time. So we did the intravenous, and we also added a nasal approach so we can get some extra hitting the back of your nasal cavity so it drips in and goes into the blood vessels in the back of your nasal cavity. So
yeah. My question is, I've been looking into this for a while, and I'm wondering what the downside might be.
See, in doing so many of these things, and again, I didn't invent the technique. I joined into a clinical trial years ago that was already running, and I learned how to do first fat and then bone marrow, because bone marrow gives you more cells. And that's what we've, you know, stayed with, the exact same technique, although the clinical trials have ended over time, as all do. The technique is the same. It's just extracting bone marrow from the crest on the posterior part of your hip, extracting that fluid, spinning it, and then injecting it intravenously, and using the stem cells as a droplet, in droplet form, with your head tilted back, lying on a table, to get into the back of your nasal cavity. So there are many, many studies, and you could look on scholar.google for stem cell therapy research. And you have to look up autologous, which means your own, bone marrow stem cell therapy for different diseases. And you'll see thousands and thousands of studies. Or as well, you can go to my website and look at the bottom of the website. You'll see thousands of studies there. So,
well, for me to look at something is practically impossible.
Yeah, no, I realize that, obviously. So
yeah.
You could have someone go to the website and have them tell you what the articles describe, or they can click on the button and listen to the and watch the videos.
Yeah. Now, is this a one-time treatment or is this a series of treatments?
For most disorders that we've seen, it's once. It's done once. The people that have some of the more cellular damage disorders like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS, or stroke, some people have done a second treatment. But overwhelmingly, most people do one treatment.
Okay, and I understand that this is covered by Medicare?
No, no insurance covers it as yet.
Oh, okay. And
As a courtesy to patients, we accept Medicare for the office visit, and the blood work will go to whatever lab your insurance dictates. We've always done that. But stem cell therapy is not covered by any insurance as of yet. But worldwide, and research goes back over 100 years, probably 150 years, when Ernst Haeckel first started to document the term stem cell, and then subsequently, many thousands of studies and treatments have been done. So this is not something new. This is something that's been around longer than, every drug that's ever been made, or a lot of the drugs that doctors talk to you about for different things. So you could look at a ton of research on stem cell therapy. But remember, you don't want to look at umbilical cord or amniotic fluid. You want to look at your own stem cells from bone marrow.
Right. Okay. How do I get into the queue to get into this program?
You can just give the office a call at 516-794-0404. And we'll get you set up for a visit. Do you live alone, or do you live with someone?
I live with my wife, but she's mentally challenged.
Okay. I was going to say, you could have them, go to the website, and here are some of the patients that we've treated. You listen to their stories. It's very compelling. People with MS, Parkinson's, stroke, diabetes. So, or if you had a friend over, you'll be able to hear a lot of good information. Alrighty?
Okay. All righty. Great. I'll call the office tomorrow and see if I can get set up.
Terrific. Looking forward to seeing you. Have a wonderful day. Okay, the phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you can do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. As I've mentioned many times before, I think that stem cell therapy is probably the greatest thing that's come along in the history of medicine, because it's really using your own cells to repair your tissue. And there's a great deal of support behind this through thousands upon thousands of studies. And typically, as I've taken the studies and put the abstract on my website, you can see it for a variety of different conditions. And typically, all those studies say safe, effective, safe, effective, safe, effective. Well, they're your cells. So it's being done in a very specific technique. And as I say, I think it's one of the greatest things that's ever come along in the history of medicine and science. Once again, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you can do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And we can get you up on the air. Let's go back to look at some interesting research. Drinking green tea may reduce the risk of coronary disease in men. We've been talking about the benefits of green tea for years. The great extracts in green tea, epigallocalic and gallate, EGCG, is one of the things that's a great antioxidant. There are studies that say that it has great anti-cancer effect. So as a great antioxidant, it certainly could help, and this study talks about, for cardiac disease. In study involving over 520 consecutive patients who underwent coronary arteriography, results indicate that green tea consumption is correlated with a reduced risk of coronary disease in men. Those who drank green tea showed a 28% reduced risk of coronary disease compared to those who did not drink green tea. As once again, I have to say, now let's see if we correct all your vitamins and minerals and even look at the studies about that, how much more benefit you have for your coronary system, or correcting declining hormones, or looking at heavy metals and getting them out of the picture, or doing exercise. So we want to look at all of those things that can create improvement in your body. And that's what I would call the comprehensive medical and nutritional approach is all about. So we want to be able to learn about your body and start to fix as many things as we can find. And invariably, as we do this, and you know, the patient gets involved, they write down what they're eating, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, they write down their symptoms. And then we go visit to visit. We start to make recommendations. They follow them. You start to see the changes. It's a really great learning experience. The best that I've seen from my end, learning about the patient, and then making the recommendations, and patient learning about themselves, and then watching to see their body improve for any number of the different things that we use as recommendations. So the idea is you want to maximize your knowledge, maximize your health. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Jim in Freehold. Hi there, how are you?
Hi, I have a question. My wife had surgery on her foot about 10 years ago.
Okay.
She had a bunion removed, and she walked on it, which she wasn't supposed to.
Oh. Oh, boy.
So her foot is completely mangled, and she's been to at least 5 doctors, and they all just send her away with no solution.
Well,
and
so let's kind of review this for a minute. Bunion is usually at the big toe, on the innermost part of the big toe, where either the ligaments have become weak, and now the first bone coming off of your foot bone that goes up to your arch, you know, your great toe, the first bone, not the tip of your great toe. I'm trying to do this non-scientifically so people can understand. Yeah, that area is either shaved to shave that bone down. Sometimes a pin is put in it so it'll keep the bones together. Sometimes they fuse it. So she has a displacement of the toe again. The toe is pushing inward.
I've seen the x-ray. Every single toe, the bones in each toe have to be reset, repositioned. They're all, you know, out of direction that they should be in. Her big toe is just pointing straight up. She's in constant severe pain. And
yeah.
I just can't believe that after all these doctors we've seen,
They probably don't want to touch it because they think that it's not going to come out good, so they don't want to touch something where the outcome is not going to be as good as the person would like it. But, you know, women that wear really tight shoes, you know, pointy or tight toe box shoes, will typically end up having the bones forced and the toes forced together, and that sets the stage. And then wearing the heel puts pressure down on the great toe. But it's odd for me that the one toe procedure would affect all the other toes, unless she kept wearing really tight shoes and high heels, because that would tend to make the other joints degenerate. Without looking at the x-ray, it's hard for me to say, but I'd rather look and see an x-ray and an MRI to give you a better idea as to what, you know, can be done.
Doc, if I could just say that we are, it's like we're in a train headed for a, you know, a head-on collision. It's just a matter of time till she's 67. She lived with this pain for 10 years, and it's just progressed, and we're headed for worse and worse pain.
I understand that, you know, completely. I just need to be able to see, you know, what is occurring there. Now, for people that have arthritis of the joints, we've done stem cell therapy, and that works extremely well. But I don't know exactly what we're dealing with, so I would love to see x-rays or MRIs before I can give you a more specific answer. You know, we've had people that are told they need knee surgery or hip or shoulder that have not gone for that surgery because of the procedure that we've done. So I can't, you know, guess over the phone. So my best discussion on this would be examining her and looking at the x-ray and MRI.
Yeah, Doc, we're at a wit's end. We don't know what to do, but it's...
No, I clearly get it, you know. We see a lot of people like that. I understand it. I feel bad, but, you know, I'd like to see if there's something that we could do that maybe can help. Okay. Or if not, then we'd refer you to somebody that we know might be able to help you. But take a look at the website, drcal.net. You can certainly give us a call at the office, and we'd love to help you out.
Are you located in Manhattan?
East of Manhattan in Garden City. Garden City, Long Island, New York.
Okay. How do you spell Cal?
C-A-L. drcal.net.
I'm sorry, could you say it?
D-R-C-A-L. Cat, apple, and linguine. Great. Thank you for your call. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you can do so now. Let's go next to Wayne in Boston. Up in Boston, Mass. How are you, Wayne?
Hey, Dr. Cal. I'm well. How are you?
Yes, sir. Great.
I was just scrolling through the dial and popped you up somehow, and something tells me this might be a blessing here.
It could be. You never know.
You never know. I'm almost 60 in fairly good health. I eat well. I exercise. I do what I'm supposed to.
Okay.
And for years, I've taken supplements, vitamins, this, that, the other thing. I've never come across that golden egg just to say, oh my God, you know, these nature juices, 52.
There's no such thing, I have to be honest with you. And taking vitamins without testing to see if your levels are in the perfect range is not really getting to where you need to be. And I've seen thousands of patients over 30 years, and people try this and that supplement and something that someone markets in a multi-level thing and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And people don't get benefit from that because they're not starting with the blood test for their vitamins to see what they're deficient in. And then when they take these things, they're not raising the deficiency, so that's why they don't see the benefit.
So that's why
I always do blood tests first to look at these things and correct it then.
And I have, coincidentally, unfortunately, I have my annual next week, so I'll ask them to put those levels in.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that because those doctors that specifically are in a different realm would not do that. They don't believe in that. But testing all your vitamins and minerals, looking at your absorption, digestion, looking at testosterone, the 12-part thyroid panel, DHEA, all of these things are important to what's going on with you. Just by virtue of age and by what you're telling me, you're looking for something to make you feel better and get you back to where you were a few years ago. But that's part of what I call the comprehensive medical nutritional approach. That's why we do this, because we're looking at all these things.
You're saying that, and I get my health care through the VA, that I need a specialist besides my...
You need something, you need something different because the primary doctors don't do vitamin levels.
Okay.
They don't look at 12-part thyroid panel. They don't look at hormones necessarily. So that's why a lot of the men and women that I see that are in their 40s, 50s, and beyond feel horrible because their body's just not functioning the way that it should or did in recent years. But that's why we test these things in that fashion.
Now, in layman's terms, would this be somewhat in the realm of like Ayurvedic or?
No, not at all.
No.
Okay. This is traditional medical blood testing, but going beyond what traditional doctors would think it'd be important to test. Vitamin blood testing is done by the same labs that do all the different blood tests. A full thyroid panel, 12 parts, is done by, you know, any of the labs that do blood work. It's just the doctors do two things for thyroid instead of 12. So the idea is that you want to be able to maximize your understanding of why you're feeling this way and correct each of these areas. So that's what I've always done. So we want you to learn as much as you can about your body.
And I just started taking a 5-milligram antidepressant. And I'm wondering, is it possible that there's a chemical imbalance above the neckline that's causing all of this?
It's kind of a general way to say, here's a medication that helps your general, you know, chemical imbalance. Your chemical imbalance could be low thyroid, low DHEA, low testosterone, and once you correct those, you may not need the medication. That's the way I look at it, and I've done that before. So I know that for men, you know, testosterone, DHEA, and thyroid decline creates issues with mood, you know, anxiety, irritability, depression, sexual function changes. So, you know, my idea would be to learn, discuss with you what you're going through, look at all the blood tests to see what's actually there, correct those, and watch to see how much better you do.
Hey, thank you so much. It was, again, a blessing to speak with you. I wish
Great.
You and your family
You're very
well
kind.
For Thanksgiving.
You too. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for your call. Take a look at the website. If we could help you out, we would love to. That's what we're here for. DrCal.net. Okay, let's go next to Charlotte in Queens. Hi there. How are you?
Okay, Dr. Calipay. My husband is 94 years old.
Wow, okay.
And he has wet macular degeneration.
Mm-hmm.
And they give him an injection, a retinologist, every 8 weeks.
Yeah.
I think it's Eylea.
Yeah.
And they say it's just maintenance.
Well, remember that at 94, all the components of the eye have gone through a lot, and your eye is not making brand new cells to repair itself for a long time. So that's why at 94, all sorts of organs have significant decline and failure. What we spoke about before with the woman who I think was in her late 60s to 70s, and if she's listening, I apologize, I don't know her age. We did a stem cell treatment for her, and she had some significant improvement in color vision, dramatic improvement in color vision, and clarity down that middle of her eyesight where she wasn't able to see before. Now she can see and even sign her name on a line on a check. So her video will come up on the website pretty soon. But remember, at 94, I don't know how much wear and tear and damage is on the eye, and I don't know, you know, how soon any technique would allow those tissues to respond. That's the one issue that no doctor can really, you know, guess at. So we've seen lots of people where we've done different treatments that have had great results. But, you know, there may be less of an expectation as a person gets to be much, much older.
Well, he did have a cataract removed from that eye. They told him to do that.
Yeah.
And right after that, it turned into macular degeneration.
Yeah, because the back of the eye, the retina, where the macula is, that's the spot where all of the light is focused on your retina, from the light that bounces off the image through your cornea, through your lens, it's focused on the macula, so you could see. So the blood vessels there are probably breaking down, and the tissue degenerating, that's why that's occurring.
So,
now, I know we've seen results in people that are younger. I would expect that anybody who did this therapy would have some benefit, but I just can't guess or I can't guarantee it.
Well, I know you don't guarantee any of it, but I don't know if it's worth his while. They told him that if he does stem cells, he's went to another retinologist. I live in New York.
Yep.
And he said to him, don't do anything, because if you do that, you're going to go blind.
No, people nonsense.
People in Florida have
no.
used stem
that
cells.
That was one non-doctor person who somehow got an assistant to do stem cell injection to the eye. That is not ever done. There's no research on it. There's nothing to support that.
No, he did not do the stem cell injection. He just advised that.
I'm telling you that the person in Florida had a patient a patient in Florida had an injection in their eye with stem cells.
Yeah.
That's not approved. That's not recommended. That nobody has said that that is beneficial. So that was done incorrectly, inappropriately.
Just that one person.
So intravenous therapy would be good for your organs. And we've done a nasal mist where we use the stem cell droplet into the nose, and that could be beneficial. And you'll be able to see that on the website relatively soon.
Send it for him at this age. He has other problems with his body, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, without seeing him or looking at his testing, I can't tell you what
do you
is
take
or isn't
Medicare?
Going on. Medicare, yes. You can certainly call the office and...
Well, he's on a plan, an end plan, Medigap.
You'd have to call the office. I'm not an insurance genius, nor do I know everything, but you can call the office and the staff will go over that with you. And you could look at the website as well, drcal.net. We'll show you a lot of great info.
For us to read, it's both of us have
Okay,
thank you.
So, yeah, just call the office. We'd love to help you out. Thank you for your call. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you can do so now, 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Tony in Bloomfield, New Jersey. How are you?
Hey, Dr. Cal. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Just calling in. I'm listening to your show for the past 10 minutes, and I just came in. So,
thank you.
I wanted to ask you, I'm a diabetic, too, and I take insulin. That's the only thing I take. I won't take anything else. They try to give you a lot of medications to control your sugar and everything, but I don't take the stuff. I just take the insulin and basically eat healthy, work out a little bit, and try to maintain my health. The problem that I'm having is the retinopathy with the eyes.
Yeah.
I'm having that problem. And I have very little vision in both eyes to begin with, but the little vision that
it's likely that your diet is not great, because if there's secondary areas of degeneration, like the vessels in your eyes, or you're on insulin, and you're not doing a lot of activity or exercise, you know, you may be getting worse even on the insulin. So I try to tell people in layman's terms that there are two areas to look at, the peripheral area and the central area. The peripheral area is that we have to cut the carbohydrates down to 30 grams a day, because that'll start to bring your sugar down. You have to walk a half hour to 45 minutes every day. That'll get your body to burn sugars and fats and deliver oxygen, vitamins, minerals, and good things to all your tissues. You have to correct declining hormones like thyroid, DHEA, testosterone, and correct your vitamins. So that'll start working on that mechanism that's on the outer edge. But the core issue is that your pancreas is not making enough insulin. And research has documented that doing stem cell therapy from your body intravenously can help to get those cells to go to your pancreas to get make new cells or turn into new cells that can make insulin. And there are videos on my website that highlight that. There are also research studies on my website at the bottom that document that. So...
That would help me with the blood vessels bursting in the eye.
We have people that are diabetic that obviously have other areas of problem, whether it's neuropathy or whether it's retinopathy, that have had improvement in those areas with that therapy, stem cell therapy.
Okay, great.
So,
sounds good. One more question.
Yeah.
Your offices are only located in New York, or do you have any in New Jersey?
Only in Garden City, Long Island,
and
Plainview, but Plainview is a little further east, so Garden City would be closer to if you're in Jersey.
Okay, so I'll go onto the website and take a look at what you have on there. Doc, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Look forward to helping you out. Yeah, you'll see some amazing info on the video on the website, and you'll understand how we do this in a comprehensive fashion. So I think you'd learn a great deal. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Leo. Hi there. How are you?
Good. Okay, I'm trying to get as briefly as possible, so that's over. My daughter, coincidentally, I'm 67, my daughter's 43, she's learning challenged. But anyway, I had colon cancer last year. I got surgery on it, got it taken out, a year follow-up, everything was fine. She happened to get the same thing, it was like 3-4 months after I had. A little
colon cancer?
Yeah, colon. Hmm. Her spot in the colon was a little bigger, and they did surgery on her, too. A year later, when they did a follow-up, they found a little spot in her lung. Now, they call it hypercolon cancer, it's a Leach syndrome. It's inherited and genetics. But the confusing part here among the doctors is that fat in the lung did not show the same genetic flaw, mutation, that it did in the colon. And he's scratching his head. He's saying maybe another tumor popped up in the colon. I got to go see him.
So there are two separate, the lung and the colon, were two distinctly different types of tumors, cancers.
The genetic flaw did not pop up in the lung lesion.
Hmm. Well, usually when one tumor exists, it can send out little satellite cells that go elsewhere, and you would expect the one in the lung to have the same cell type as the other. But there are cases where, you know, a different tumor pops up. And the reason why tumors pop up is because your immune system can't kill it when one cell starts doubling into the second and they double into the next group of cells because of genetic mutation, and the immune system can't stop it at that point. So that's the prevailing thought. So it would be odd to try to figure out why there are two different cancers occurring in the same person. But it does happen historically.
It does happen. Yeah. So do you think maybe another one popped up in a colon, which we're probably going to test this week?
I mean, it can pop up anywhere. I mean, a PET scan would be a good test to do because that's an injection with dye.
Yeah.
And that would have the sugar and the dye get taken up by the actively dividing cells, which are cancer cells. So that would look anywhere in the body as to where there may be a tumor.
Yeah, well, she had the PET scan. Like I say, the PET scan popped up at the thing in the lung.
But
anyway,
nowhere
else. What is your opinion on giving her, like, certain nutritional stuff, like noni juice,
I don't think noni juice has any basis because that's a pre-made thing with a whole bunch of stuff in it. It may have too much sugar because you don't want to have excess sugar, you know, in your diet because, you know, cancer cells feed on, you know, glucose. That's what helps to make them grow faster. That's Otto Warburg's Nobel Prize research in the 1930s. There is a Dr. Richard Salazzo, and I think he's out in Smithtown or St. James, who's got a pretty great protocol of a combination of nutritional IVs and even the low-dose chemotherapy with insulin called insulin potentiation therapy. That does that. I don't have his phone number off the top of my head, but Dr. Richard Salazzo.
He's on Keytruda.
Well, yeah, that may or may not be beneficial for the lung. You know, it's always guesswork. Chemotherapy is always guesswork.
Yeah, it didn't shrink it. And, you know, I also give it this oxygen, oxygen therapy, vitamin C. How about vitamin C? Along with the chemo stuff, you know.
I mean, I think vitamin C intravenously is a good thing. That's always been around. Dr. Forsyth in Reno, Nevada, who's a brilliant cancer doctor, uses vitamin C IVs all the time with alpha lipoic acid. So I think there's a lot to be said for that because he has a lot of stage 4 cancer patients, probably 1,000 or over 1,000 stage 4 cancer patients that have very long lives, that have great longevity. But, you know, it depends on many factors. So the two best people to see, certainly Dr. Forsyth, who is thought of as being the best of the best, and I know Dr. Salazzo, and we've sent him some patients as well.
Forsyth and Salazzo, near Long Island?
Yeah. Forsyth is in Reno, Nevada, and Salazzo is in St. James, Long Island.
Oh, okay. Salazzo is in Long Island.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to get your question up on the air, have some great calls today. Let's see what else we have that's interesting to talk about. Let's see. More and more vitamin D, vitamin D, vitamin D studies. It's amazing. Here's a great comment on supplementation with turmeric extract may benefit patients with arthritis. Now, of course, this would have to be a very mild form of arthritis where using a little bit of anti-inflammatory effect might be of benefit. But then again, if you have a problem with your knee and you're taking a anti-inflammatory or you're taking a medication or an aspirin, you may not feel the pain. You may walk on the knee and make it worse. You have to be careful with that. So we don't recommend turmeric itself. We recommend the active ingredient, curcumin, because curcumin has some good anti-cancer benefit. It has great anti-inflammatory benefit. So realistically, we need to see what's there. That's why we do the MRI. So the MRI will show us exactly what's there, and then we can determine what we need to do. So we're also coming out with, and I spoke to the gentleman who puts together our vitamins, we're coming out with a combination of curcumin with an FDA-approved hemp derivative cannabinoid, CBD, that's got no THC in it, and that over the course of the next couple of weeks may be available as a great combined product, because it's a specific amount of each ingredient, completely approved, and has a specific encapsulated gel cap form, so you're getting the identical amount in every capsule. A lot of what's out there for CBD oil or sublingual or all these other types, you don't know what you're getting. So that would be the drawback if you're doing some of the liquids or drops. So we'll stay tuned. We'll be able to talk about that in a little bit. Okay, phone lines are open. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jack in Long Island. Hi there. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Cal. How are you?
Yes, sir. Great.
Good. Thank you. I'm from Boston, but I'm visiting my son here in Long Island.
Oh, great. So another Bostoner. That's great. I have friends that are...
I'm having the honor. I've listened to you online many times.
Thank you.
I'm here all the time with my son. A couple of questions. Number one is, I'm 65. I'll be 66 in January. And as most men do in their late 50s, they start urinating, getting up. I was getting up 3, 4, 5 times a night.
Yep.
So my doctor put me on the generic of Flomax, which is Tamsulosin.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's 0.5 milligrams, most of the pills.
Yep.
I take 2 pills a night before I go to bed, and it's been about 4 years now, and it does help. It does help quite a bit. If I take myself off of it, I feel like I have to urinate all day long, but this really helps me sleep, only maybe get up once a night.
All right, it's not bad.
Any long-term bad side effects on this?
Not from what we can see. The majority of people that have been taking it, you know, for a long time don't have significant side effects from it. So...
Okay, so a separate thing I had that I forget what they call it. I had a kidney tumor removed from my when I was 65 years ago. A common kidney tumor, a cancerous kidney tumor. But they said it's common in men about my age.
Yeah, hypernephroma. Yeah.
That was it. And they do a ultrasound every year for me for the past 5 years, and everything has been normal. Is the ultrasound enough, or should I have more tests done because I did have cancer?
To be a little bit more thorough than ultrasound, you could do a CAT scan, because a CAT scan can pick up things that the ultrasound can't, because the ultrasound is looking at shadows. There's really no marker in the blood, you know, for hypernephroma or kidney tumor. Because you've been fine since, I don't think that they'd be able to get a PET scan covered by your insurance, which would be a dye with sugar that helps to get sucked up by cancer cells. You'd have to have some sort of cancer diagnosis for them to do a PET scan. So maybe a CAT scan. You could ask your doctor to do that.
He did CAT scans the first 2 years after my surgery, but he's done ultrasounds for the past 3 years.
And you've been fine since. Chances are that you're absolutely fine.
And is there any... one last question, unrelated to the kidney. Scoliosis, curvature of the spine. I'm 6'4". I've always slouched over. I have two bulging discs, L4 and L5. What's the best thing to do in that situation?
Want to do activity that helps to get your muscles to do the job that the ligaments aren't doing and get you to stand up a little bit straighter. So a guy who goes to the gym and works on making his arms or his chest or his back or his leg muscles stronger and bigger is going to have a better positioning than a person who has muscles of the back that are not as strong or as capable. You could also try to enhance ligament stability. Prolotherapy, platelet-rich plasma therapy can make the ligaments a little stronger. But you're not going to change the size of the shape of the bone, because the reason why people have some of the pitching of the scoliosis, which is a side-to-side effect, or a kyphosis, which is a pitching forward, sometimes is because the bone level is not even top to bottom of that bone. So there may be some things you can do to help to, you know, straighten that, but the bone is not going to change. So you can try to use some of the work on the muscles and the ligaments, and to help take away the pain, prolotherapy or platelet-rich plasma might help.
And what about bulging discs?
Well, you have to do some stretching, maybe some massage. Sometimes traction will take the pressure off the disc. Maybe getting those ligaments a little stronger with the platelets would help. You don't want those discs to herniate, so you want to start doing some of the things that can help to stabilize the area. That would include physical therapy, traction, stretching, etc., some of the things we're talking about.
I've slept on a solid, not a board, but sometimes I'll sleep on my reclining chair, which takes the pressure off the lower back. I cannot sleep in a mattress. It's impossible. I can't walk the next day. I must sleep on a solid surface. Is that very common?
Yeah, because that's holding you in a much better position. That's not letting the weak ligaments allow the shifting of your vertebrae to put pressure on the discs and then hit the nerve. So, yeah, you've got to do what you can to keep that stable. So, you know, you're doing the right thing by sleeping on a firm surface, because otherwise the shifting is going to occur and you're going to wake up and have a difficulty in moving or walking.
Yeah, doctor, the slightest, with people, I've talked to a friend of mine who has my condition. He says the slightest give on a mattress causes a lot of pain. The slightest sinking in it.
Because you're shifting and you're putting the disc pressure on the nerve. Some people even like to sleep with a pillow under their back to keep that nice curvature of their low back to stabilize it. So, again, you might need to do some of these other things to give yourself a little bit more strength and stability.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr.
Great.
Cal.
Thank you for your call. Love to help you out. Take a look at the website, drcal.net, and we can chat. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to call it and ask a question. Let's see what else there is. Adherence to a Mediterranean-type diet may reduce inflammation, help with weight loss, and reduce features of the metabolic syndrome. Well, this kind of makes sense. If you cut your carbs and, you know, you're doing your exercise and you have good protein sources, good vegetable sources, staying away from sugary things, staying away from chemicals that can come within the foods, then your body will do far better. So this was a study of obese subjects, 24 females, 17 male, average age 37. The BMI, body mass index, is 32. Doing the Mediterranean diet, low carb, low calorie, over 8 weeks, was found to induce significant weight loss and changes in C-reactive protein, tumor necrosis factor alpha, abdominal fat distribution. So, of course, this makes sense. And the Mediterranean diet has always been a great diet. So important to understand that here we have way more carbohydrate than we ever really need. So if we start to cut the carbs down, your body will burn down sugar, burn fat. Makes a great deal of sense. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. The website's www.drcal.net. And we can get you your question up, and we'll chat about it. Let's go to Gary in Queens. Hi there. How are you?
Hello?
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm there. I got a prostate thing going on. It was a piece of the prostate going into my bladder. Mm-hmm. And a doctor I'm seeing wants to do some kind of high pressure, some vapor, or he wants to vaporize it. It's called the Rezum method or something like that.
Yeah.
Is it safe? Any side effects? What's the deal on that?
Well, with any technique where they have to go in and either roto-rooter, which is the older term, or a transurethral resection where they scrape away, whether they laser it or they do a high-frequency technique, the newer the technique, typically the less side effects, and that's why the new technique would be chosen or covered by insurance. So the potential to have that prostate scraped away so it's not pushing into your bladder, I think the end result is that the technique will work, but there's no way of knowing whether you'd have a side effect or not. Side effects vary from one person to the next. So, you know, usually the urologist and the ones who do those procedures, or even if you looked up that procedure online, you might be able to see what the statistics are for side effect.
Okay, but you've heard of this method, though?
I've heard of all the techniques to decrease that part of the prostate that can push into the urethra or the bladder. But I don't know enough about your condition to know whether you'd have a side effect or not.
Right. And one of my questions is, of all the methods you can use, is this high vapor thing the safest, or are they all about the same thing?
I think they're all relatively the same, but I'm not a urologist doing a high vapor technique, so I can't tell you, because I've never seen, you know, all those techniques compared one to the other. And I don't see patients that do that procedure, or that I don't do that procedure on patients, to tell you what does or doesn't happen. So just as I would look on the, you know, internet and try to compare and learn about that procedure and look for, you know, common side effects, you could do the same thing.
Gotcha. So, I was just checking there. I just thought, you know, maybe, all right, got it. He says like a 10-minute procedure, but I guess it's after a couple of days.
And typically, it should be relatively limited, and it may very well be because it's the newer procedure. It's a better technique because it has kind of decreased the side effects that occur with the older procedures. It's like having an older car. To an extent, the older cars, they could break down. They need more care, blah, blah, blah. You know, the newer cars have much more, you know, advanced features.
Right.
So I think that's probably a good technique. But again, I haven't seen people that have done it yet.
Gotcha. Well, sometimes with a new car, they have recalls too. That's how I want
that's
to
true. It's 100% true. Yeah. You know, and who doesn't like the good old cars where you can kind of get room around the engine and change the plugs and do the work on it yourself? Now you look under the hood, you're like, what the heck is going on? You can't even, gotcha. You can't tell. All righty.
All right. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call and ask a question, you could do so right now. Let's see. Let's go to Bob in Rutherford, New Jersey. Hi there. How are you?
Hello to legendary Dr. Cal. I'm a fan of yours.
Legendary.
I remember you going back to the days when you were on with Gary Knoll.
Oh, my God. You're giving away your age, our age. Wow.
Yeah, you're a great guy.
Yeah, long time. Thank you, sir.
Two questions real quick. I'd like to know, how come, like, if I go to sleep, I can sleep 7-8 hours at night without having to pee.
Right.
But like if I'm up and I'm walking around, I'll have to go like maybe every hour and a half. That's the first question. And the second question is, I'm wondering why, like when the temperature goes below 70 in the house, my feet get so cold.
Well, the first question typically. People see the opposite. When they're up and about and moving, because they're moving around, fluid's moving around, and gravity may pull some of that fluid down to your feet, and that keeps it from getting as quickly to your kidneys compared to when you're lying down, because now that fluid can get to your kidneys more and then go from your kidneys to your bladder, and you have to have the sensation to get up and urinate. So people who have overload of fluid, either because they're overweight and fat cells hold on to water, or when they're lying down, typically have to get up more to urinate. It's odd to have it be the other way around. Now, the activity that you're doing might be stimulating your bladder, and your bladder may have a little bit of a nerve twitch going on that makes you, you know, realize you have to pee.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know if you're taking medications or not. I don't know anything else. Usually it's the other way around.
Okay. And what do you think about the feet being cold?
Well, typically the temperature in your house or your room and your core temperature control how you feel. And when the temperature goes down, because your feet are so far away from your heart, that warm blood may not sustain the heat to your feet as it would to your stomach or your chest or other parts of your body.
Hmm.
So a lot of people, when the temperature starts to change and they go to run to put on the heater in the house when the season changes, their feet get cold. Because that's the furthest part from the warm blood pumping out of your heart.
Hmm. Are there any remedies for these two situations?
It's hard to say. You could have circulatory changes going down your legs to your feet, which may decrease some of the blood flow there, like plaque in your blood vessels. That would be important to look at. For some people that feel cold, sometimes their thyroid's low. But it's hard for me to guess because there are so many different variables that could control the symptoms you have.
Okay.
So...
And any remedy for the excess urination when I'm up or no?
It's hard to say because usually when people wake up to pee, I tell them to sit in a recliner for a while with their legs up high to let that fluid come down from their legs so they could urinate before they go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You have just the opposite. Yeah. I mean, I'd want you to be as busy as you could want to be and walk around and do a lot of activity as much as you can.
Right.
But without learning about your body, it's hard for me to tell you what you should do or what may be causing some of your symptom.
All right. Yeah, because I do run in every day. I run for 45 minutes, and I take a ton of vitamins, too. I mean,
you got to do your blood test because taking a ton of vitamins doesn't really mean anything.
Okay.
You still might be low in those vitamins because you may not be absorbing or taking enough or et cetera, et cetera. So you got to do that blood test.
All right,
it's
my
the best
friend.
Thing we do.
Real, real good here, and you keep up the good work there.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. You're very kind. Okay, let's go next to Ruben in Manhattan. Hi there, how are you?
Great, Dr. Calzai. How are you today?
Great, thank you for your call.
Thank you. For about the past 7 years, I've been involved peripherally in a research project that deals with trying to decrease the telomere of a cancer cell. And Maybe some of won't know what that is, but I'm sure you don't.
Well, I know what telomeres are, and I know how telomeres, you know, divide, and when telomeres and telomerase is supposed to protect the telomere, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, if there's a way to shut down the telomere activity, that certainly makes sense.
Yeah, it actually is. The research has pointed to the ways to decrease actually the cancer cell telomere and increase the healthy cell telomere. That's a subject for another discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And during the research, we came up with some interesting findings. I wonder if you ever have heard of these. And if you use any of those. So one is that almost every cancer patient, like 90% of them, has five things in their body that you wouldn't normally find there. And the other thing is that when we measure integrin, when integrin is elevated, the patient always has cancer. Have you ever heard of measuring integrin? And if
there's no lab that measures integrin.
I'm sorry?
There's no lab that measures integrin. So although it's a great concept, and certainly this may be something to understand in the future, there are no labs that test some of these things that are still, you know, in research. You know, doctors order basic tests, and that's what all the labs will do.
Right.
So
even in research, are there no labs that measure it on a research basis?
No.
And why is it when it's always a marker for cancer?
Well, there are so many different ways to answer that question. The typical way to answer it is that only until it seems to be a significant money-making, you know, technique will they start to put money into having the labs do tests and then verify and then document and make it a test that is useful in either diagnosis or effectiveness of treatment of a cancer. So there are lots of things that are knowledgeable and that are important tests, but never make it, you know, to the what I would call the average labs, because doctors don't order those things. So just like anything else, most doctors don't order vitamin panels. So if you go to a doctor and he orders vitamin panels, it may take months to get it back because the lab's got to send it out to another lab that does it. The lab that I use, the ones that we commonly use, do it because we ask for it all the time. So it's hard to say why cancer research is such a tight-knit, you know, group of doctors, and it's hard to say other than that why, you know, a test that seems to be important has not been made, you know, available for the population or other doctors to use that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. In trying to use telomeres for research, you find that it can typically take 5 to 7 days to measure, to get an accurate measurement of the telomere. Of a certain kind of cancer.
Correct.
The person heading up the research has figured out actually a way to do it in 15 minutes.
So the beauty of this research that you're talking about now may be the research and the documentation that gets this up and running so that in the very near future some of these tests can be made to understand what's occurring and how to help people. So, you know, I salute you for doing the research. It's just that you're not going to find this in every lab until enough paper comes out, you know, documenting how this works, documenting the benefit, and then this guides us towards a treatment that can do something that will, you know, in end be able to help someone's life. So that's hard to say. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go Peter to Manhattan. Hi there. How are you?
Yes, doctor. Quick question. All around the world, cities, in my particular case, Manhattan, mm-hmm. is being dug up and all these toxic fumes and whatnot are being released into our bodies and the air. No one ever addresses this, by the way.
Well,
let me ask the question, please. The question is, what might you suggest that we do to try to counter the effects of all this poison we're breathing in?
You know, there are a lot of interesting studies that talk about pollution in big cities, you know, causing asthma, causing cardiac disease, you know, road dust from brakes on cars has cadmium in it that we know is linked with breast cancer. So there are some people and doctors who believe that you should keep your windows closed and have air purifiers in your house. You should. And you should take antioxidants to decrease free radical damage. But you can't really change the gigantic outdoor environment like as is within Manhattan. So you got to do whatever you can in your personal environment to maximize your health. Thank you so much for your call. I'm sorry I couldn't go on further with that, but www.drcal.net is the website. 516-794-0404 is the phone number. Give us a call. God bless you all. Have a great day.
This program was sponsored by CC Medical Services. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.